Haley, thank you very much for joining us from Chicago. Summer and Nate, thank you so much for going with the flow and doing a great job today. Always really. And thanks to Lainey for being our receptionist and supporter. I'm Esti Dinor. We'll be talking again soon. Thank you for listening. Bye bye.
WORT Madison.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got a year. Wow. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Well, there's a big asterisk. You know,
I've been told I have a big asterisk.
Yeah, it's kind of like that decision that Supreme Court made about the boneless chicken. So, you know, it actually can't have bones in it. Have you heard about this? Well, this is kind of like knows everything.
Yeah.
Maybe not everything.
Yeah, you got to read the fine print.
Fine print, yeah. Provisos, yeah. You know. It's a difficult
concept. It's like clicking OK on the Microsoft, you know, agreement. Yeah. You don't read it. You just click OK.
I like to think that I know really well a narrow band of things. But I really know it well.
Three inches wide and a mile deep.
That's me. Hey, I want to thank, and I'm feeling bad. I'm blanking on the name now, but I want to thank Mindless Minion, who sent a message last week, and we were talking about the speciation of certain kinds of creatures,
the Beatles, yeah.
On the earth, and the Beatles and the Minion. It might be in the mailbox. The Minion was pointing out that according to latest some theories, these are speculative but well-grounded speculations, that wasps actually might be the most speciated
That's
of all
right.
creatures.
Yeah, that was from John. So.
Okay, thank you, John. Yeah, John. That was great.
John sent us an email at melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com.
And you can, too, if you like.
Yeah.
If you have something you want to, you know, gripe about or augment or something like that, you can certainly send an email.
We also got a call. It was either after the show or too late for us to mention. We were talking about presidential libraries, as we are wont to do.
Every week.
Every other week or so.
Every other 10 minutes.
but she said the McKinley Library was really interesting, that they had a lot of cool stuff there.
Yes.
Like a lot of. Have you been there?
I have been to that one.
She said there's a statue and a lot of cool books and I forget what else was there.
One of the greatest statues of McKinley, and when I was a kid I thought it was crazy, but now that I'm an adult and have different views about things, I kind of think it's cool. So there's a statue of William McKinley, of course, who was famously assassinated, notoriously assassinated in 1901, and he's standing out. He's from Ohio. And he was standing outside the Ohio State House, this image of him. And you see this, like, you know, women clutching children to their arms and these strong workers with their, you know, outstretched muscular arms thrusting up towards the sky, you know. And then the point at which they're all sort of, you know, converging into the line of sight is this little plump man. Very uninteresting looking. And I thought, yes, that's what our politicians should be. That person right there.
I'll get it done. Yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like I don't look at especially presidents or politicians essentially as leaders. I mean, they're often described as leaders, but they're really followers. Yeah. I mean, you know, Lincoln wasn't an abolitionist.
No, heavens.
You know, FDR wasn't a progressive, you know, part of the
Frederick Douglass was like, WTF. And he met him, you know, was like, send us back to Africa? What are you talking about?
Lincoln, I mean, LBJ was not a civil rights crusader, but but they all, you know, were, got pulled along by the waves of history. Yeah. And then that's what we need is people who can make good decisions. Like
manage
that.
The chaos, talk to people well. I mean, that's really what you need.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need like some firebrand up there waving a flaming sword.
Yeah, this thing has been tried. This is, you know, this goes back to like, I think when we were all like living in caves, you know, like, who's the guy that yells the loudest or something? Yeah. I mean, we don't need that.
Right.
You know,
right.
We've moved on since then. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed. So I have a fun trivia fact about speaking of presidents.
Yeah.
Okay. How many presidents do you think? There have been 46 of them, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And how many do you think had blue eyes?
Oh, heavens. I couldn't even imagine. 56%.
67%, two-thirds of them, 30 of them,
oy,
had all blue eyes. Isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah, the Ice Devils, yeah. Golly gosh, that is shocking to me. I mean, I knew it was high, but I didn't realize it was quite that high.
Yeah.
That's amazing fact. Amazing fact. Well, there's also the whole thing about when you've got a presidential contest, especially since the, you know, era of mass communication, you know, movies, TV, and so on, that the taller person always wins.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that still holds, but
probably, yeah. But so I just looked it up. 27% of people in the U.S. have blue eyes.
27,
and 67% of presidents.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. and if the Republicans get in power, that'll be one of the standards of the qualifications. That'll be a little, you walk in, you look into this little iris detector machine. It's like, okay, you can vote.
J.D. Vance is fitting himself for blue contacts now.
How's that guy doing these days? I haven't heard from old J.D. recently.
He's out there out having him do things, but... I can't tell reality anymore. But I see these stories that he's speaking in front of like, you know, 12 people or two dozen people.
But and those 12 people love him.
There's
right?
pictures from the rally, the quote rally of him. You know, they're all like standing around waiting for the free donut or whatever. There.
I think it's interesting that whole couch thing because every time I've heard that joke and I've heard it probably 20 times since I've come back from Europe, and every time they do it, it's like a riff on Trumpism. You know what I mean? People will say the joke about the couch. We all know what we're talking about here. And then they'll say, but that's not true. That didn't happen. And I've seen, you know, Colbert does that. I've seen other people do it, too. And I almost feel like it's almost like some kind of meta reduction of what Trump does. Because he says stuff knowing that you know that it's probably not true. But he says it anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's the caricature, the cartoonish portrait of his enemies that he wants to create in your mind without respect to any, you know, tying it to reality. So it seems like some of the Democrats are kind of like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, like Walls did that, for example, at one point.
Right.
So. I find this whole like rhetoric of political communication in contemporary America fascinating because, you know, it used to be people would like, you know, go to school to orate or they would, you know, someone like a Lincoln or something was known because he was able to really, you know, bring down the house with a great speech. Mm-hmm. Kennedy was like that, so on. But now it's like you don't actually orate. You don't like say, here's a set of true propositions which will persuade you to do X. You like, you don't even like say things. I mean, Trump's taught us that you can make noises with your mouth and then people figure out which speech act you're performing depending on what their political affiliation. He's joking, he's crazy, he's whatever. There's something
he's
going
brilliant.
On. Brilliant. He's brilliant. Yeah. You just take it for you figure out what it means.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
I'm not gonna tell you.
I do think it's odd, speaking of Vance, though, that he's sort of been, like, the focus for a while. And it makes me think there's a story there that's not being covered or discovered.
Yeah.
That there was something with Trump. Because, I mean, it's not in his nature to just stay home.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first, I thought maybe he was sick, maybe he got COVID or something. Yeah. And then I read something that speculated that maybe he was kind of freaked out after the shooting and wasn't too crazy about going out in front of big crowds after that. Now they're putting him in this like glass box or a bulletproof glass box.
Seems like a perfect place
and
for
it's,
him.
It's Lucite, good. It's good because it you know gets him used to living in a confined space like that, like a nice small rectangular area, which would hopefully
I was thinking
be his future.
my theory is they picked him because on the Hank Pence T-shirts. When you make the new ones, that's the least amount of change you'll have to do with the printers. Yeah, you know, just change the PE to a VA and you're all done.
Yeah. It's like you got something monogrammed. You know, you break up with your spouse and you get somebody with the same initials.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. This scares me that you've thought of this. Anything you want to tell us?
Again, I don't know what's real and what's not, but I've read that Donald Jr. was instrumental in
DJ,
excuse me, I got a little something in my nose.
Wipe your upper lip, son.
but that he was instrumental in the Vance pick, that he lobbied for him heavily.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and of course, you know, the only people Trump sort of listens to is his family. I don't think he listens to Junior or Eric much, but
go ahead.
Speaking of Junior and Eric, Thursday, Donald Jr. announced the Defiant Ones, a new crypto platform that will help people do. And this article says, "Well, that part isn't entirely clear."
don't want to let people know what the grift is. I mean, come on.
Donald Jr. Linked to it on X. He linked to a Telegram page where updates about the Defiant Ones will be shared in the future.
Okay.
The platform sounds vaguely.
I saw that movie, by the way.
that was good. Sounds vaguely like a crypto exchange, but this article says that's just a guess. There's scant information as to what the Trump boys are actually up to. So here's some sort of vague crypto, whatever it is, run by Donald Jr. and Eric Trump.
Yeah. We synergize disruption. What more do you need to know?
Take my money now.
If you'd like to synergize disruption.
I think the next fundraiser, we got something we can put our money into.
Exactly. From your mouth to God's ear.
Eric Trump, the guy who stole money from a children's cancer charity that he was running.
No. Hey, environmental groups announced this week that they're going to be spending a little bit of money, just a little bit of money, a little change, on one of the candidates. Can you guess which one? It might be that Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, who, of course, just accepted the nomination of her party last night as president. And climate groups say they plan to spend around $55 million on ads, or as the Koch brothers would say, take that out of my back pocket. It's interesting that they don't expect the vice president to say very much about climate and kind of keep it on the DL because I don't know, doesn't want to alienate, but they're pretty clear that what her views are about this, and they're gonna be putting some money into her campaign.
I saw an article this morning where some reporters had had a room full of quote undecided voters and asked them what they thought of the Kamala's speech last night, and it was very interesting seeing the comments. It was people saying things, and I think a lot of times when you get undecided voters, they're not really undecided. I mean, how could you be undecided?
Well, it depends. You know me. I'm not going to defend the undecided, but some people I know, my family, you know, vote on superficial characteristics.
Yeah, that's very common.
I mean, what we would think of.
Yeah, that's very common. I mean, there were somebody. One of the people said something like, you know, I liked what she said, but I don't think she's tough enough. Sounds tough enough, or something like that. Yeah. And another person said, well, there weren't a lot of specifics in the speech, and it's like, well, you know, that's not what this speech is about.
We had the specifics with Biden on Monday, and that just I fell asleep. he went down like the classic laundry list. It's like, okay, let up, Grandpa.
Yeah. You know, before Biden dropped out, I saw a few of his ads, and I just. just cringe because they said, "Oh, they're gonna lose in a landslide," because they were those types of ads, just a laundry list.
Yeah.
And it's like that's not how people make decisions. People make decisions a lot of times, and marketers know this, based on one thing, one little hook in their brain. And you know, it's like, you know, Coke is the real thing that grabs your brain and say, "Oh, I want something real. I want Coke."
Yeah, that's what Donald Jr. said.
Yeah.
it's the real thing.
It's very real.
You know, I got to tell you this.
Somebody, you know, 10 or 20 reasons isn't doing anything. Yeah. I mean, it's not the high school debate club. So.
Yeah. I had a conversation with a woman who works for Progressive Marketing, and she helps various entities to devise campaigns, you know, to try to get their message out. And I said, what do you, I met her at a B&B that Companion and I were at. And, you know, we were all sitting around the table in the morning having breakfast together. And I said, so what are you working on right now? And she said, well, we're working on trying to convince people that climate change is real. And I said, well, what have you discovered? And she said, if we just had 10,000 uncles sitting down at the dinner table and telling people climate change is real, we'd have it done tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because what most people do is a lot of people think they know everything, you know, like me. But a lot of people think, well, somebody else probably knows more than me. And so if it's someone that they personally trust, then they'll use that person as a source of information.
Yeah.
And that's why the Republicans know that. That's why every single thing that they've done for the last God knows how long, 50 years, has been to try to basically degrade and, you know, poison the well with respect to various sources of information. Universities are, all the professors are liberal, and, you know, scientists are all out for the money. Really? Yeah. Do you know what a scientist means? Never quite figured that one out. But anyway, that kind of stuff. You know, they're just trying to say, you know, activist judges and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah. I mean, none of it's real. They love activist judges when they're on their side.
Sure. But,
so, and conversely, they've done that, you know, they've been able to reach people through things that they inherently trust, like their church.
Yeah.
And, you know, their minister and their priest and you know, they get them kind of on their side and they say things, even if they don't specifically endorse them, they'll, you know.
I think if you're a preacher and you're supporting Trump, you're kind of like, you're using the model that Rasputin used to use when he would seduce all those duchesses and things. Yeah. He would say, if you want to be saved big, you got to sin big. That was actually his line.
That's a good pickup line.
I know, it's great. Rasputin was very successful in St. Petersburg. So, you know, so these ministers are like, you know, you want to save big, you got to vote for that guy. You know? It's a little Satan in all of us, you know. Come on.
I mentioned it, I was watching this network with commercials, this streaming service, and a lot of the commercials there's a lot of attack ads for the Republican PACs and stuff, but it's the same old stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, it's, you know, they did Willie Horton against, you know, Dukakis in 1988, and that's essentially what they're doing with these. It's like Kamala Harris let all these criminals out in liberal San Francisco, and then they went on a killing spree, and usually those stories don't amount to anything.
Hey, the oldies but the goodies. Yeah. Just keep playing them.
You know, and then the attempt to swift boat Governor Waltz.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who served 24 years in the military.
That's not enough.
How dare he? Yeah.
He should be carrying that rock up the hill like Sisyphus or something. You know?
Plus, his family loves him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that was notable, right, between the two conventions. And, you know, I don't know what you think, you know, listeners, about the Democrats or Harris in particular, whatever. You know, we're not going to go there. But I just want to say this, that when you looked at those people, they looked like they liked each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like husband and wives, you know, parents and children. I mean, you know, poor Melania shows up, you know, dressed basically in armor, you know. I don't blame her, but, you know,
don't touch me.
She's not getting up there and giving any speech for anybody.
She'll give Michelle Obama's next year.
Yeah, well, that's good. It was a pretty good one. I mean, that was the Obamas. Look how, I mean, they were just, you might say, oh, it's all performative, but you know it's not. I mean, you just tell.
You can tell when it's fake, like a Trump or Vance, you know.
At least the candidates look at each other like they think, oh, you know, I love this person, as opposed to another human is making noises with its mouth, you know, like, what is that?
What kind of transaction can I get out of this? Yeah. But my favorite part of the Democratic convention.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if you can see this picture, but Mike Pillow. Mike Lindell from Mind Pillow.
Oh, Mind Pillow.
Showed up.
Oh, did he really? But did he shave his mustache?
He came in disguise.
Oh, funny.
He shaved his mustache.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. I'm looking at a picture right now, and he has no mustache.
He shaved his mustache. He put on sunglasses and then like a fedora type hat. And then he thought he would like, and there were several like right wing influencers or whatever you want to call them, who did that, who came in disguise, like they were going to like blow the lid off these secret plans they were having at the,
dear
like
Lord.
Like they're going to have like a secret meeting at the convention to talk about stealing the election or whatever. And
you mean the pro-pedophilia group or whatever, you know? Where's excuse me, we're pro-pedophilia group. Who's that guy, A, and B, what are you talking about?
I would like some children for sex purposes. Yeah, can Hillary hook me up with that?
Yeah, right. So he does look different there, I have to say.
He looks a lot different.
That signature mustache really does hide a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't look like the pallbearer from wrestling anymore. But I just love that they're under, and several, like I say, that James O'Keefe did it, and there's a guy named, I think, Matt Walsh or something like that.
Well, what they do is, I mean, following O'Keefe, you know, they record perfectly normal things and then they edit them so badly that it looks really bad.
Yeah, I think they were like talking to people there and then they can just, as you say, edit things deceptively. Yeah. But I love the fact that they went there undercover to really, really blow the lid off what's really the real story of that convention.
So I got a couple of stories that are kind of sad, but also kind of happy.
And, okay.
I got one from Sarasota down in Florida. So there's a college there. You may remember this story from a couple years ago called the New College of Florida. And it was a tiny liberal arts college with a fairly, kind of classic college feel to it until the governing board was taken over by appointees of Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, and it found itself right in the middle of the state's ongoing culture wars. So a guy by the name of Christopher Rufo, some of you know who this guy is. He's a right-wing agitator. He proudly proclaimed that we have abolished the gender studies program. Now we're throwing out the trash. And what he means by that is they were discarding tons of books that were being used in various courses and library things in the library that related to some of this. The American Civil Liberties Union took note that this was a brazen act of censorship. They basically are cleaning out the library. This is a quote. These actions are nothing short of a cultural purge reminiscent of some of history's darkest times. So it's not enough that they're controlling what's being taught in the classroom. They don't want to even have people to have access to this stuff. But what was interesting is that some of these books were actually salvaged. There was a group of student activists called the Sea Alliance, S-E-E, and led by someone by the name of Xander Morish. And they went in and basically tried to save some of these books. They were being culled, and they were going to pull them out and hold on to some of them, created an alternate library. They were going to basically donate them, recycle them, resell them, all good things so that these books will not be lost. So, again, whether you agree or not with what the books have in them, their arguments, their impressions, their people's experiences, these are things that even if you disagree, you'd want to like read to find out what people are thinking about these very important issues related to gender and gender identity. So what was really sweet about it was that there are people out there is like, no, we're going to save those books. Screw you.
Good for them.
Another related story comes out of Oklahoma. And I just want to mention that 3 days after the state superintendent in Oklahoma of instruction, a guy by the name of Ryan Walters, probably blue-eyed, directed each teacher in the state's public school to start teaching the Bible this summer.
Oh, okay.
But some of the districts are pushing back. They're basically saying, look, eight of the state's largest school districts made public statements saying, without any plan, this is a quote from the Tulsa school board president, without a direct plan, nobody feels obligated to do anything. It just seems like propaganda. So instead, this Mr. Walters, Mr. Walters is the state superintendent. He's become embroiled in an escalated series of public disputes. So there's lawsuits over his leadership. People are pushing back on him and so on. So he thought this would make some kind of, I guess you could say, like big point on Fox News or,
sure,
you know, the
sure,
right-wing media. He would be a rising star. You know, the Marjorie Taylor Greene approach to politics.
Yeah.
And instead what's
some
happened
clicks.
Is yeah, he's got a real job with real implications, and he's not offering a real plan. He's just mouthing off.
Yeah.
And so people are pushing back.
No, interesting.
That's so great.
Well, they should teach the Bible.
I agree.
Yeah, it's like teach about the talking donkey and the, was it Lot that offered his daughters to the mob
and I know the perfect book that you could compare it with, which is it's a little bit like a commentary, Handmaid's Tale. I mean, that's all that stuff comes right from the Old Testament.
You know, how to treat your slaves is in there.
Yeah,
I mean,
or your concubines.
Switching subjects a little bit. This story is from a couple days ago, so I don't know if there's an update, but it's out of Dodgeville. A Richland Center woman is looking for her horse, Scarlet, after Scarlet took off running into Governor Dodge State Park last Sunday.
Run, Scarlet, run!
Scarlet, I'm free! Be free, Scarlet! Scarlet's a 17-year-old brown mare with a white diamond-shaped star on her forehead. In case you see a horse going around...
Have you seen this horse?
Governor Dodge Park, and you want to make sure you got the right horse.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of them up there.
Yeah, the owner, she walked 30 miles and then rode another horse for another 50 miles for 3 days searching for her horse. Her niece was riding it and when the horse took off. So I don't know. If you see Scarlet, let the authorities know, and hopefully Scarlet's okay. And
she would appreciate a carrot or two.
Yeah. Oh, I hope Charlotte's okay. That's scary.
Here's another story out of Florida, out of Tallahassee in particular. This is owners who catered to Florida's LGBTQ+ tourists said Wednesday that they were surprised to find out that a particular piece of marketing that they've done to travelers who fit into that category has been eliminated from the state's tourist site. Apparently, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis or some of his flunkies decided that we were not going to advertise tourism in the form of trying to, bring people to Florida based on sexual orientation or gender identity. And the guy who heads the Greater Fort Lauderdale LGBT Chamber of Commerce said, "It's disgusting to see this. They seem to want to erase us. So this is... The site is called Visit Florida. It's a public-private partnership between the state's tourism industry and the state of Florida. And one of those two is up to mischief. And I got to tell you, the people who are in the tourist industry are not happy about this. Because I'll tell you something about people, no matter what their sexual identity or desires or gender, they have money. People can spend money.
There's a reason Disney kind of pioneered the pro-gay days called it back then. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because they realized there's money here.
Yeah, yeah. We're gonna shut off part of our customer base. Now that's what we're all about here at the Merciless Fun Machine. No.
Put him in the grinder.
Squeeze.
They got like a big juicer that just separates you from your money.
Well, man. Did you hear about this story about there was a wrongful death lawsuit? Did you hear about this at Disney?
Oh, yeah. I think Ruby talked about it last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they clicked accept because they had the
right,
TV subscription.
Exactly. Ruby did do that story. And it was a great story. It was so crazy. And what happened was it got so much publicity. And this is the news media doing its work that they did back down.
Yeah.
And they settled it out of court just on Monday of this week.
Oh, okay, good.
I think it's because Ruby reported it, actually.
Ruby blew the lid off that one. She was in disguise, by the way. You couldn't tell on the radio, but she had a big mustache.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. So, Starbucks incoming CEO, a guy named Brian Nickel, he's going to commute to his job.
Okay.
And the corporate offices are in Seattle, and he's going to commute from his home in North Beach, California,
okay,
via private jet. instead of relocating, Starbucks said this letter to him that during your employment with the company, you will not be required to relocate to the company's headquarters. You agree to commute from your residence to the company's headquarters as is required to perform your duties and responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So he's going to just hop into the old private jet.
Sure.
And, you know. With his little sack lunch and his
nice.
his workout shoes for lunch for lunchtime and
wow.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page, or we also stream live. And you might be listening in the future, as I mentioned, either through the archives page at WRTFM.org or with the WRT app, which is a really handy free thing to use.
It's free.
To that stuff. Yeah, and then you might be listening via podcast because of Mindless Minion D-Cubed, who does all the file management. All right, we're going to take a brief break and play some announcements and come back with...
They just put up a new statue down in Georgia. Who could it be?
Oh, my goodness. And I have... this is out of... it's out of South Korea. I thought it was Madison, but... bedbug-sniffing dogs.
Wow. I want one of those.
We need those for the buses here.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in homebrewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Dane Dances, a free family-friendly event on the Monona Terrace rooftop every Friday evening in August. This week features Grupo Candela at 6 p.m. and the Eddie Butts Band at 8 p.m. Carry-in chairs, blankets, and baskets are permitted. No carry-in alcohol. More information on the Dane Dances concert series is available at danedances.org.
Folk singer David Rovix brings his Ministry of Culture World Tour to the Madison Labor Temple on Sunday, August 25th at 6 p.m. David Rovix refers to himself as simply a songwriter or musician, but can be more fully described as an American protest singer. Rovix honed his musical craft on the streets of Berkeley, where he worked blue-collar jobs and joined the industrial workers of the world. By the 1990s, he'd moved to Boston, where he hit the subways with an acoustic guitar and songs of protest. His songs deal with war, anti-globalization, anarchism, social justice issues, as well as labor history and United States government. Folk singer David Rovix brings his Ministry of Culture World Tour to the Madison Labor Temple, 1602 South Park Street, on Sunday, August 25th at 6 p.m. You're listening to WORT, Madison.
And we're back. Okay, I want to share with you this this fun little anecdote about the real president, Richard M. Nixon.
That's a good picture of him.
Yeah, it's an old picture.
We're looking at a picture on the screen here.
He was in, that's like World War II era. I think he was in the military then. But Richard Nixon revealed to a wartime friend during World War II that he had remained a virgin until his late 20s. He apparently used to ruin dates by giving women speeches about what might have happened if the Persians had conquered the Greeks.
I'm having flashbacks. Let's talk about the Battle of Thermopylae.
That's right, exactly. That's always a panty.
Okay.
That's a panty dropper there.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, he was persistent, though, and Pat reports that when she would date other guys,
yeah,
he would drive them because he had a car.
Right.
Like, you guys want to go on a date? Okay, I'll drive you. And she's like, all right, I got to reward this slavish devotion. Pretty creepy, though, when you think about it.
So, on sort of a related note, here's a study about the least attractive hobbies for men, according to women.
All right. Okay. Okay. This sounds good.
Okay. So the number one least attractive hobby.
Oh, you should go the other way. The less attractive, up to the worst.
Okay. About 50% of women said that bird watching was a turnoff.
Really?
Yeah. 55%.
I thought that was just like a chick magnet, as it were.
And surprisingly low, 55%. Comic book collecting.
We're doomed.
It's amazing I reproduced even once.
Which do you think it was, the bird watching or the comic collecting?
60% coming in with 60% saying these are least attractive hobbies for men, according to women. Taxidermy.
Oh, wow.
I would think that'd be a lot higher. That's your basic red flag.
Yeah, I don't want that one.
65% building model trains. I'm surprised.
I'm just getting a picture, you know what I mean? It's in this image.
All right, we're changing the direction a little bit here. Gambling.
Yeah, that's serious.
Online trolling.
Yeah.
80% magic tricks.
Okay, I agree on that one. Yeah.
I will throw ventriloquism in there, too. Yes.
Anything that requires you to be on stage, then yeah, no, that's not it.
85% collecting figurines.
Okay.
That includes action figures.
Okay. I was going to say, except for the Legion of Superheroes, right? Come on.
And topping the list, this is kind of surprising, 90% a turnoff for women was guys who play video games.
Well, that's everybody.
I know, that's pretty common. But
well, that explains a lot. And you know who you are out there. So.
But it might be like excessively.
Yeah, yeah.
Governor Waltz said that his wife had to take his video game, like he had a Dreamcast or something like that. Yeah. They had to take his video game away from him because he was so addicted to it.
He was scrolling a lot during the convention, I don't know if you noticed that.
No.
You didn't watch it, that's right. I did. I just felt, you know. I didn't watch it like assiduously, but I watched it. So. But every now and then they you know go back and he'd scroll and you know. So anyway, not surprising.
Do you see that they had a video of it's like a little TikTok thing of him and his daughter at the Minnesota State Fair? It's hilarious.
Yeah.
They're so adorable, and he was like he got to pick a ride, and then she got to pick a ride, and so he picked like some kind of boring one, you know, the Ferris wheel or something. And then she, of course, picked the deadly drop of death or something.
Yeah, exactly. That is such an adorable family. And you know,
well, they were gonna talk about food, and he said, we'll get some food. We'll get you a nice chicken leg. She goes, I'm a vegetarian. He goes, well, or I'll get you a turkey leg. She goes, I'm still meat. He goes, well, not in Minnesota. Minnesota's the number one turkey producer, by the way.
I did not know that.
I was once, when I did a story one time on a turkey farm.
Sure.
And I was surrounded by, it's sort of like being at Wart, I was surrounded by 500,000 turkeys.
Yeah.
It was like this wave, this white wave.
Yeah. Wow.
And then like one of them started squawking, and all of a sudden 500,000 of them started squawking. It was just very strange.
I think turkeys are great. I just, you know, I look at like a wild turkey and I think dinosaur.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just like, it doesn't even, you know, it's like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What an amazing creature.
I like the contrast between the wild turkeys and the farmed ones.
Yeah.
It's like the farmed ones are just like breast meat on sticks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much.
The wild ones are just like, they're mean and they're, you know, getting it done. And I mean, just kind of like them. You know?
I've had turkeys on in front of me on the bike path when I've been on the country, and and they won't get off the path.
Nope.
It's like, no, you get off the path.
Yeah. See, I like that. Turkey pride. Come on. Hey, you wanted to mention down south, you know, where they have a lot of interesting statues. They just got one that's kind of nice. It was down in Georgia. In DeKalb County, the DeKalb County Courthouse in Decatur, until very recently, had a statue of a Confederate as a Confederate memorial that had been there for the last 100 years. And for years, activists have been pushing to get this memorial. It was a 30-foot stone obelisk that had a plaque on it with all sorts of, you know, names and stuff. And of course, it was to celebrate white supremacy. And so back in 2020, the obelisk was removed. Well, what did they replace it with? Well, what we now have is a 12-foot-tall bronze statue of John Lewis.
Oh, cool.
The of course, famous civil rights leader and congressman. And it was just installed last Friday in front of the Georgia courthouse. So they managed to both get rid of this shameful memorial to the Confederacy and at the same time put up a statue of somebody, you know, helped to organize the March on Washington, you know, led demonstrators across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, on and on. Mm-hmm.
How big were his crowds? Were they were they bigger than, like, Trump's crowds?
Yeah, I don't know. I think anybody's going to get bigger crowds these days.
Trump and puppet show.
Yeah. Hey, don't knock puppet shows.
That's a 99% turnoff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I told you the one thing that we got to see when we were in Scotland, because companion and I came down with COVID, and the one thing we got to see at the Fringe Fest was Kafka's Metamorphosis the musical with puppets, and I thought, okay,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very clever, very innovative, very meaningful.
That reminds me, I was stuck behind a big dump truck on the way here, and their logo on the back said Kafka. It's like, so I mean, when they empty it out, does it like turn into something else?
Yeah.
It's not there.
It empties out, and then it's just meaningless. Yeah. It's meaningless of existence and the imminent demise of all of us for no good reason. And the thing is, it was an excellent musical. I mean, the music was good and stuff. Yeah. But they all, you know, you always have a theory in these things, and his theory was, you know, the theory of the playwright, person who wrote the music and stuff, was that Kafka was crazy because his dad was so messed up.
Yeah.
But two things I was like, companion, I talked about afterwards. One is, if you're a Jewish dad and you're a German Jew and you're living in Prague in the turn of the century, you're going to worry about your son.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're going to overcorrect.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, if you're a Jew and you're a German speaking Jew in Prague, forget the father, you're going to feel messed up.
Right.
They all think I'm a cockroach. You know, I mean, it's like they're going to put me on trial for no reason. You know, it's not all about the family.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's other things are going on. Yeah,
so. I like how we're finding out a lot of things now through research and testing, and that a lot of the people that, you know, the famous artists and politicians and whatever were like screwy on lead. They were all messed up on lead or arsenic or something. It pretty much dominated most of our history, which explains a lot. You know, then we moved to the 20th century, where all the leaders were intoxicated 24/7.
Yes,
you know. So I mean, Churchill drank like what, a quart of whiskey a day or something, or you know,
imagine what it'd been like if he hadn't.
Yeah. LBJ was a notorious drunk. But I mean, that was just natural. It's like, like on Mad Men, they would, you know, they drink like fish all day long.
Sure. So
in San Francisco, they have these self-driving taxis. It's called Waymo.
Yeah.
And they're congregated around a certain areas down the south of Market and places like that.
Yeah.
And there was a glitch this week where all of the self-driving taxis started honking their horns all night long.
I love it.
There was no one inside the cars, and
I think they're trying to tell us something.
They're just, this says they appear to be automatically reacting to each other's presence, which is a little frightening.
Ooh, I love it.
The honking seems to peak around 4 a.m. every morning. And,
wow.
And the residents are not happy about it. So. The disturbances began several weeks ago, so this wasn't an isolated incident. They're just decided 4 in the morning to start honking. I think they're trying to mate. That's usually what happens with the...
Just saying hi there.
In the wildlife, you know.
Saying hi there.
Well, then you make noises to try to attract a mate and stuff. So.
Beep, 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 beep.
No, I don't collect figurines.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got a Jesus on the dashboard, you're doomed. Sorry. No figurines. Got a couple local stories here that reveal, I don't know, just reveal something about me, I guess. UW-Madison just recently released its next capital budget, and they're talking about two things that they want to tear down, and one of them is the Mossy Humanities Building at UW-Madison.
Oh, they've been talking about that for ages.
Yeah, and you know, I love that building. I absolutely adore it. It's just like
that divides our whole town. People either love it or hate it.
It's just like this is like this giant concrete fortress. But you know that it's. I used to teach in that space. I used to teach in this building, and I see it, of course, as a modernist take on classical architecture, like that big atrium and the big columns and stuff. I mean, I really do enjoy the building. I'm not just trying to be cussed or something. Yeah. And so it kind of saddens me to think that this is going to be. It's gonna come with a big high cost to do this. It's about almost $300 million to do that. But they're considering it to demolish it and. Basically, start constructing replacement buildings. The other thing that brought back a lot of memories was our friend Samara Kalk Derby had a story in the paper in the Wisconsin State Journal this week about that the Essen House is gonna go away. It's a 42-year-old German restaurant, and they're basically closing at the end of this month on August 31st, and. That whole area is going to be, as they say, developed. And I didn't go in there a lot, but I have gone in there. And I did have one of the only times in my life that this has ever happened to me. You know, the waiters used to wear...
The lederhosen.
Lederhosen, yes. In fact, one of the waiters left his phone number under my plate. I think I must have been looking a little bit too closely at the lederhosen. That's all I can guess. You know?
Were you wearing lederhosen?
Well, no, I was not. Okay. But I must have been. I'm wondering if I was like thinking, oh, those are nice lederhosen. And he was thinking, oh, he's thinking something else. You know, I don't know what was going on. But only time this has ever happened to me, I got a phone number on a piece of paper under my plate. Okay. So at any rate, so fond memories of the Essen House. Well, there's a lot of good Essen.
Oh. It was a study of the link between slavery and the wealth of people in Congress.
Oh, interesting.
U.S. legislators whose ancestors owned 16 or more slaves have an average net worth of nearly $4 million higher than their colleagues without slaveholding ancestors.
Could you send me that? That is amazing.
Even after accounting for factors like age, race, and education.
Yeah. One of the best lines that... that Michelle Obama uttered during her speech was talking about the contrast between the people who are running for president on the Democratic side and the Trumps, saying, well, you know, we did not have the affirmative action of inherited wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
that's a great
line. That's very, very excellent.
Yeah.
The other one that I loved was Gretchen Whitmer, I think that was last night, said the first word that Trump learned when he was a kid was chauffeur. That's pretty good. I got to tell you, there was an awkward moment where maybe you heard about this or saw it on a replay or something, but you know, Bernie was up there and Bernie doing Bernie, which is great. And then after he got off the stage talking about doing his Larry David impersonation. You know, Colbert did a great imitation of him where he says, "I came here for two things. I came for soup, and I came for taxing the billionaires. Well, I'm out of soup."
Oh, that's good.
But then the next thing is the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, gets up and goes, I'm a billionaire. It's like, okay, guys, get your message straight here. All right. Are they taxing you or not? You know, I want to know.
At least you got to separate them. It's like a wedding. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You sit at that table and Bernie will sit at that table. Exactly.
I guess that, I don't know who brought this up, if Kamala Harris brought it up or Waltz or just somebody else did, but both of those people had, at one time in their life, worked at McDonald's.
Yes, yeah.
Which would be a first for, for a president and vice president combo.
I have a book.
13% of Americans have worked at McDonald's.
Wow. You never did.
I never did. So. Yeah. Yeah. I never did any food service stuff.
I mean, it's bad. I had a food service life, as you know, and the reason why is once you get in, you can't get out.
Yeah,
because it's super. You're looking around for
jobs.
It's
like Scientology. You
know? When you get to the really big restaurants, you find about the alien plot. You know? It's kind of that's when you know you're on the inside. But what the thing is, when you look around for jobs, and once you've had any kind of experience, because the churn. In terms of who does that kind of work is so, you know, so intense. If you have any kind of prior experience, you're just right in.
Right.
And so every time you do that, the next iteration of it, you start getting a little bit more, and you're like, you get a good job because you've had, you know, three, you know, crappy jobs in descending order. And they're like, oh, he knows what he's doing or whatever.
Sure.
Obviously has no plan for life, too. So we probably got him.
We just feed him caffeine all day long. And
when I left my last restaurant job, this is typical of me. The woman who owned the place, she was giving me a going away present, and I don't know if you know this about me, but every single day, I eat a fairly large amount of raw broccoli.
Okay,
that's just something I've been doing for years.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's just something I do. And so I got a raw broccoli bouquet, basically, with a big yellow ribbon on it, which was very sweet.
That's
I was
nice.
Like, all right, this will be the last food service job.
Well, this is a strange article, and it looked like a spoof at first. But Trump's going to be hosting a January 6th awards gala at Bedminster on September 5th with Rudy Giuliani to, quote, pay tribute to all January 6th defendants.
Yeah, okay. And we're going to give them all a little brown shirt as a reward.
Maybe some armbands or something.
But got another story, local story. This is with respect to something that I'm happy about. I'm not so happy again with the humanities and the Essen House thing, but here's something that I'm very positive about. And I'm gonna get on this baby, you know, like a fly on crap. Madison's bus rapid transit service is scheduled to launch on September 22nd.
Okay.
I cannot wait. Metro's east-west rapid route A, which runs roughly from Easttown to Junction Road on the far west side, with buses running every 15 minutes, will start that Sunday. Companion and I are ready to go. So the increased frequency of service has been called a game-changing development. For commuters, young people, and residents seeking efficient transit options. And, you know, I just want to let everybody know the inaugural ride for Companion and I is going to be out to the comic book store on the west side. So just so you know, that's where we're going. And we might pick up a figurine or two while we're there. So.
Do some magic tricks while you're there.
Magic tricks, yeah, exactly.
Got an email from Lauren saying Lauren's in Stockholm, Sweden.
Excellent. Wonderful place.
Great,
I was there recently.
Great to hear you guys. It's 8 p.m. here and raining.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't remember their mindless minion number.
It's those low clouds. They put you in a depressive state.
Is that it? Yeah.
hard to remember much.
We also got an email from our pal Lizzie. Talking about the Coolidge Library.
So, oh, yes.
Yeah. It included the books he actually had on the shelves when he was in the White House. They're now housed in the Coolidge Room in the Forbes Public Library in Northampton, Massachusetts. She said she's been there before, but they took down the one of Kelvin wearing the big feathered Indian headdress.
That's right.
That's a very famous picture.
And, the John Adams and John Quincy Adams library is really good. They basically created a separate building outside with just the library outside the Adams Mansion in Braintree, Massachusetts, now Quincy. And I've been there. And the best thing about the John Adams library is they show you he was a ferocious annotator. Like he would argue with authors in the book, you know, so you blithering
you
gutter snipe kind of stuff, you know, in there. And so they lay some of the books out and you can go up and look and see his notes, little notes and reactions to some of the reading that he's been doing and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
But it's like a nice, beautiful, solid brick house
right outside of their of the Adams mansion. Mm-hmm. We call it a mansion, but I mean it's just a big house.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of in the garden, and that's where the library was. That would pay some Mindless Minions that happen to be in the Boston area. Check that out.
Cool. There's a new invasive pest in Wisconsin. It's
is that Hovde now? What we're talking about? I know he's not been here for a while, but
he's a Wisconsin businessman from Orange County.
I'd love to take a cold bath with him.
the invasive insect, the elm zigzag sawfly, has been detected in Wisconsin.
The name is bigger than it is.
Yeah, it's like a little green worm.
Yeah,
and the reason they call it the sawfly, they show what it does to the leaves, and it kind of does a little zigzag pattern on the leaves. So they discovered some in Portage County in July 4th, and then it's been detected since then in 17 Wisconsin counties. So we've got another invasive species there.
So I have some advice if you'd like to make sure that you're not paying the dentist too much money. This sounds like it's anti-dentist, but I'm just trying to, create a nice equilibrium here. What are four things that you can do help you stay away from the dentist? Of course, quit vaping. That's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Vaping is not really good for your teeth. It causes an increase in bacteria and plaque in your mouth because the good bacteria are kind of paralyzed by the vaping. Stop chewing ice. Chewing ice is notorious for causing small chips in tooth enamel.
Oh, sure.
So don't chew ice. Just put it in your mouth and let it melt. That'd be good enough. Energy drinks. Turns out energy drinks are in the same category as soda and coffee, but maybe even a little worse. They all contain acid. It's okay maybe if you drink it, but if you want to drink it down fast, don't like sort of nurse the drink. Don't continue it on. And they also suggest even that after you have like a cup of coffee or again one of these energy drinks especially bad because it's both acid and sugar, you want to maybe drink some water afterwards to get that acid out of your mouth. And last but not least, at least according to one dentist, avoid fluoride-free toothpaste. And some people are rejecting the use of fluoride. Although I have to tell you, I recently saw an article about excessive levels of fluoride being problematic. And I guess maybe it's, again, we want to be careful with this, but maybe there's levels beyond which you don't want to go. That would make some sense.
Yeah. Perhaps. So, well, big fluoride's just trying to make money off us. They just want to drill.
That's
for
my
more,
assumption.
Drill for more fluoride.
More fluoride. Yeah, drill, baby, drill.
This guy stayed at an Airbnb. This is kind of a vague story, so it doesn't even say where it was. But this guy stayed
on the earth.
Stayed at it says the United States.
Oh, okay.
So they stayed at an Airbnb somewhere in the United States.
Yep.
And while they were there, they did some crypto mining.
Really?
And ran up a $1,500 electric bill.
Wow.
and stuck the owner with that. But they got their crypto. Yeah. So.
I went to a presentation yesterday at my workplace about AI, and it was really interesting because there was a woman there who's done a lot of theoretical work with AI, and she said, I think about this stuff as a form of knowledge. I don't really think about it as a product. And we had a lovely conversation about environmental degradation, the feeling that everybody has to have one, the feeling that people all know how to use AI in a way that's appropriate. And the thing I said to the presenter was, I said, I really like jackhammers too, but I'm not sure that everyone should have one or that everyone knows how to use it.
Well, doesn't AI use a lot of energy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, the environmental component of this is problematic right off the bat.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the other, questions about how the content was obtained and how biased the content is when it spits stuff out. I mean, there's just so much there.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly varies. Some of those, they just troll something like Reddit and find, things that people posted. And it's like that has no...
What could be wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm against human empowerment, right? I'm just kind of... That's what they're saying.
All right, one more quick story here. Ancient star spotted fleeing the Milky Way at unprecedented speed. Who can blame it? I mean, it's like...
Just... Myrna Loy, come back! If you know who Myrna Loy is, you probably enjoyed this show. Yeah.
as well as ventriloquism.
Yeah, exactly.
And being alone.
Yes.
So, all right, time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy the weekend. I don't know. I don't look at the weather anymore because I can't go outside for a while. Well, I do go outside.
You go outside.
I sit in the backyard with Clopsy, but that's about as far as
I'm going to a wedding tomorrow.
You are.
I'm so excited.
You're good.
And because Companion and I got COVID, friends of ours who've been a little worried about COVID are inviting us over for dinner. So I'm very excited about that too.
Excellent.
Because they figure, well, we're not going to get the give them COVID, so that's good.
All right. That's it for the show. Thanks for listening. Pants, was great to see you as
you too,
always.
Yep.
So stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, the other Mr. S. Other Mr. S is here. And with Who Cooks For You, then Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday On My Mind. All kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WRT. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. Have a great week, everybody. We'll yak at you next Friday. Bye-bye.
Hey!
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, August 23rd.
Another day, another wrongful murder conviction revealed. I'm Bill Newman, and this is the Civil Liberties Minute. Arvell Marshall was convicted of murder in Brooklyn in December 2009, even though there was a videotape that clearly showed some other man shot the gun and committed the killing. Who's to blame for this travesty? Well, let's start with the DA, who failed to turn over the tape, who said that the tape did not exist, and then after that, that the tape was not accessible, and then after that, that it could not be opened, all of which was wrong. Then there was the defense lawyer, who made a half-hearted attempt to secure the tape. And then the judge. Oh my God, the judge! Mr. Marshall kept insisting throughout his trial that a surveillance video could prove his innocence. He kept asking for the surveillance tape, and the judge told him to shut up. Everyone involved in the case, defense, prosecution, police, and the court, failed, according to the current district attorney, who agreed to vacate the conviction and dismiss the charge. Noteworthy, since the district attorney's conviction review unit was expanded in 2014, 39 convictions now have been thrown out. Here, Mr. Marshall spent 16 years in state prison. One bright spot, of sorts, because New York State does not have capital punishment, Mr. Marshall could not face execution for this crime that he did not commit. The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the ACLU, because freedom can't protect